I'm Gene Kansas. You're listening to Sidewalk Radio. We cover the arts, architecture, design, development, city planning, preservation. Today's show, Hollywood South.
Because of the money that Deliverance brought in, we have kind of inauspicious beginnings with Deliverance. 1972, that movie shot in Rabun County, which was a very poor part of the Northeast Georgia Mountains. Then Governor Jimmy Carter said, you know, this is a great industry. They're bringing in all this money. Let's see about, you know, trying to get more of these shows. And so we were one of the first film offices around.
You come on buses, you come on trains, you're flying on an aeroplane. Looking for Hollywood. You come from far, you come from near, you'll always be a stranger here. Welcome to Hollywood. I walked up, I walked down, it's just another border town. Hey, Hollywood. So go on, have another puff, as if it were not weird enough. There's a full moon on sunset tonight.
My guests today are Executive Director of the Atlanta Film Festival, Chris Escobar, Lee Thomas, Director of Film, Music, and Entertainment for the Georgia Department of Economic Development, Dean of SCAD's School of Digital Media, Tina O'Haley, and the star of the Doritos Goat for Sale Super Bowl commercial, Mark Ashworth.
Hollywood goes down like honey. Hollywood tastes like money.
To say that the film industry is making an impact on Georgia's economy would be like saying that The Godfather is a decent little movie, an understatement of blockbusting proportion. In 2012, direct economic benefits of film production came to nearly $3.1 billion for the state. But it's not just A-list actors and revenues generating buzz. Hollywood is also a boon to students, residents, cultural events, and local communities. This month, we explore the epic of cinema in the South and why Georgia wants to continue to roll out the red carpet. Let's tell people a little bit about how that came to be. Like, why Georgia? Why now?
Well, I think Georgia is uniquely situated. I mean, I think it's a combination of things. It's we have had a history in the film business, so we already had an infrastructure in place. We have a very deep crew base. We have a lot of people to work on films, and we have developed a pretty significant infrastructure here. We also have, ease of access with Hartsfield-Jackson, diversity of locations from the mountains to the coastline and small towns and big cities. And, we have this great tax incentive that came about in 2008.
Can you tell us how that came about and kind of outline it in a bullet point fashion?
Sure. Well, initially, To go back a little bit, we were losing a lot of business. We lost a lot of business to Canada, and they were the first ones to start, aggressive tax incentives. Then we started losing business to Louisiana. That was the first domestic tax incentive program. So in 2005, we started a tiered, a little bit convoluted tax incentive program. And the legislators did that because Georgia story, Ray, took place in Louisiana, and they were stunned by that. So when, a Georgia movie like that goes to Louisiana, it was definitely a wake-up call for everybody. So we had a tax incentive that went in place in 2005, but it was hard for the producers to budget with. So in 2008, we raised the rates a little bit, the percentages, and we streamlined it. And that's made all the difference in the world. Georgia's not the strongest on paper of all of the, markets out there, but because we have a deep crew base and everything that saves them money, it's a combination of all those factors that makes Georgia a great place to shoot.
And what are kind of the basics of the tax incentive?
Well, it's a tax credit.
Tax credit.
Yeah, some places do rebates and they give you cash. Georgia doesn't do that. Typically, when you have a rebate program, you have a film fund and, you get in the fund and then you run out of money. And we wanted something that was sustainable for the state, that made sense for the state. And so basically those shows will come in from out of town, they'll spend money on on production, and then they would get a 30% tax credit back on the qualified spend. And most of these companies can't use a tax credit here. They don't have income tax liability. So they would sell it to high net worth individuals or companies that do have tax credit.
And what is that, like a 70 cents on the dollar type of transaction?
Typically, what people are getting in our market now is about 88, 89 cents on the dollar.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm in real estate, and I'm used to seeing historic tax credits and, you know, new market tax credits, now renewable energy credits.
Sure.
And these come about in a variety of ways. As far as the film entertainment digital tax credit for Georgia, mm-hmm. was it Hollywood coming here? Was it Georgians saying, hey, we want this? Or how did it really develop?
I think it was, you know, a combination of, legislators deciding whether they wanted Georgia to be in or out of the film business, because the nature of the business had changed so dramatically that it was incentive driven. The decisions on where to make a film were not about what is the perfect location for this film. They were being dictated by the accounting offices of the studios. And if you were not on that list of places where, you know, there was favorable tax incentives, then you would not be considered for a film. So it became a thing, is this a good industry for Georgia? We had $244 million worth of economic impact in 2007. And by 2012, we were at $3.5 billion.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, especially in this kind of economy. I think that it's really, you know, all the stories that you hear about people, you know, who had buildings to rent, who rented their facilities out, you know, in this market to productions coming in, people retooling for the industry, you know, people out of work accountants becoming film accountants, or out of work drivers becoming teamsters and driving for the movies. So, I mean, you know, we talk about what is spent on the actual production, but a lot of times that's not where the majority of the money is spent. I mean, if you look at like a town like Covington, Georgia, I mean, for 30 years, Dukes of Hazzard was their biggest driver for tourism. And Dukes of Hazzard shot 5 episodes here in 1989. That was it. And it's still their biggest driver of tourism. So when you look at things like that, and the fact that we had, you know, the Hunger Games Catching Fire that'll come out in November, I mean, I think that, you know, we'll definitely be able to feel it then when that movie comes out, of people traveling to Georgia to go see this site. It's great for the state.
Have you seen an interest from other states in contacting Georgia and looking for help on how to do this?
Yeah, actually, I had a call the other day where, you know, they wanted to bring me up to Ohio to talk to their, you know, government officials to try to get them on board. And it's like, you know, I work for the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
So this is a competition, and that's, you know, state versus state as far as how, you know, getting these films in.
Hollywood is everywhere now, don't you know? You don't have to light the line to see the show. Just catch it when a star falls flying low. Get along down Sunset, yes indeed. Hollywood is what you let it be. What you want is often what you need. Swing low, or none of us will ever get back home.
So now, like, the tax credit's in place, you know, the basis here, how much, courting do we do as a state to get the actual production companies, the film companies, to come here after that?
We don't do as much as we used to as far as proactively knocking on doors, just because of the level of business we have. You know, a lot of what we're doing now is just trying to keep up with them and the logistics of having this many shows here. I mean, you know, in 2007, I'll give you an example. We had one, you know, at the starting of the year, we had one reality show called Yo Mama by MTV. And right now we have 16 shows on the ground and 14 in prep.
We're actually in one right now.
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
But, it becomes logistic issues, you know, yeah. Trying to help everybody find their office space and helping people find their crew and making sure, you know, that they get the permits they need and that they don't run into huge roadblocks, or, you know, that citizens of Georgia are not upset by the filming.
Tell us about some of the film festivals here and what that does for Georgia as, you know, a state that's attracting the film industry.
You know, I think it's all part of the same thing. I think that, you know, to have a whole vibrant film community, you know, that you need to have great film festivals. And I think with the Atlanta Film Festival, the Atlanta Jewish Film Festival, the Savannah Film Festival, all of these, and there have been a tremendous amount, Bronze Lens, a lot of them have popped up in the last few years. And I think that that's great because also, you know, we really want to make sure that we also pay attention to an indigenous market here and that young filmmakers are coming up. I think that, you know, we're going to see a lot more training programs. And so those will be people that will feed these film festivals.
So my name is Christopher Escobar. I'm the executive director of Atlanta Film Festival 365. And we are the organization that presents the Atlanta Film Festival, which is now in its 37th annual presentation. So we've been going on for a good long time, coming on 40 years now. So.
What have you seen as a difference in the industry in Georgia and specific to Atlanta with the tax credit?
Georgia is becoming less of just a location and more of a setting of where films actually take place and shows take place. And that's where one of the things that now we're not just a backdrop, now we're actually a subject. And so Atlanta is becoming more on the minds of people nationally as they watch these films and television shows. As a metropolis that's, you know, bustling, another present Atlanta as a place that has all this greenery. I mean, the great thing is, as a filmmaker, you can really shape the story, and Atlanta has so many ways you can look at it that all of those can be true at the same time.
Have you seen Hollywood come into Atlanta and embrace us as much as we have embraced it?
I think so. I think one of the things that Hollywood and really just the film industry and the television industry is loving here is that we're still very film friendly. and that goes not just the tax incentive, but the general public. And, you know, when location scouts go into locations to let people know they're shooting, like, it's still exciting. And it's something that it can stay that way. We don't have to get jaded like people are, unfortunately, in California and stuff, where it has become almost a burden to them, even though so much of the industry, their economy there depends on it. I think one of the differences, too, is the timing. I think if this was trying to happen 10 years ago, it would be totally different when Atlanta was in the kind of a increased, you know, period of boom and growth, whereas right now it's one of the few growing industries and a shining examples of what's potential here for the state. And you know, continuously you hear the mayor and the governor cite the boom in the film and television production industry as an example for when government and industry come together, a lot of great things can happen.
Things like Pinewood coming.
Definitely.
I mean, tell us about that, actually.
So, yeah, a recent announcement. So Pinewood Studios is locating here. And so Pinewood is the studio that is based out of the UK but has studios all over the world. And they produce the Bond films, the Harry Potter films, the Christopher Nolan, you know, Dark Knight relaunch, you know, major, major blockbusters. And now they're going to put their only U.S. studio here in Georgia. And it's going to be a humongous, humongous facility. Screen Gems has been a huge blessing and a number of the other studios that have popped up since. But this is going to be on a totally different scale.
Have you seen the support for Atlanta Film Festival grow as the industry grows here?
We definitely have. Both because there's just a larger excitement about the industry, and now there is, people see sort of the impact, and they see overall. We're not started or backed by a major celebrity, as much as we would love that. I mean, Sundance has Robert Redford, Tribeca has Robert De Niro, and there's several others that have those examples. We also don't have a major foundation that, you know, grants that will happen every year. I think what makes our festival unique nationally but perfect for the city is we were started with that same Atlanta audacity. So our organization and festival started by a bunch of scrappy filmmakers, you know, they were from academia, they were independent filmmakers, they were from all over, but they didn't start with a ton of money, they didn't start with a bunch of fantastic equipment, but they said, you know, as part of what was then the Atlanta Arts Festival, we're going to show 16mm films.
Just because they loved it?
Because they loved it, and they had to. And there actually was a film festival before ours, and it had went defunct, and for a few years the city lacked one, and I think it created a real void and a real need. And so the first festival was in 76 as part of the Atlanta Arts Festival, back then, and it was in the bathhouse of Piedmont Park, which has kind of become almost, you know, legendary that that was sort of the start. And so one of the things that I think now that people, you know, starting last year, are really starting to see is we're trying to make our festival not a film festival that happens to take place in Atlanta, but a film fest, almost include the apostrophe S and make this indivisibly Atlanta's film festival, and that the films we show are representative of the audience, are representative of the stories we want to see, or representative of the storytellers here, but the places we show them. Perfect example along the lines. So we, just along with a lot of the city, have been treasured the plaza forever.
Love
but
it.
Back in April, we started helping manage it, and they were going through some tough times, and we started lending some of our resources and connections and know-how to improve what we could, how we could. And it started to raise the profile of the plaza and made it more attractive. And so now there's a new owner who not only bought it, but is investing a ton of money into restoring it and to, rehabbing it. And the film festival is now moving centrally to be at the plaza from where previously was mostly at the Landmark Midtown Art Cinema. And so we want to do everything we possibly can. And that includes, let's put our most visible event that we do all year round at the plaza,
yeah,
and really put more eyes on the plaza and let people experience it and share the magic of what is Atlanta's oldest operating cinema.
It snowed today, it's cold here for November, but I hear the weather's warm out there. Oh, and if you see Bert Reynolds, would you shake his hand for me? Tell old Bert I've seen all his movies. Well, I hope you make the big time. I hope your dreams come true. But if Hollywood don't need you, honey, I still do.
You're listening to Sidewalk Radio. I'm your host, Gene Kansas. Today's show, Hollywood South, brought to you by Perkins & Will.
We're so focused. Everything is about getting the students ready for the careers. It's not just being an artist. That's not good enough. It's being an artist who's going to change the world, and you have to have a career to do that. So all of our professors are from the industry. We're still active in the industry, still passionate about what we do, and we bring that to the classrooms and indoctrinate our students into a culture of how to work on a team, how to be productive, how to bring something to your given industry, and then how to go out and conquer.
Well, it's kind of interesting because in my conversation with Lee Thomas, with the Georgia Department of Economic Development and Film, one of the reasons that she gave for Atlanta and the region being such a good place to attract these companies and these productions is because of the working base. And by what you're telling me, that's only getting better because the students not only are knowing about it and want to come here, but they're going through a successful education and now have places to work.
Exactly. And another thing we apply is how to get the students to understand the business as well, so that they can be entrepreneurial spirits and they can go start their own. They can go join an incubator and go create what is going to be the next best thing.
And it sounds to me like in what you're doing with digital media and television production, you can have these people who are in town come, and it's easier than like in LA, let's say.
Well, Atlanta's definitely the melting pot for awesome because everyone comes through here. The airport's right here. You have the High Museum. You have all these wonderful places that the animators or the television producing students, motion media, all the art students can go and meet the industry players. When you have access to all that and you have all these ideas coming through and all this culture, you can't help but come out with something wonderful. Another great thing is that we get a lot of people from Turner even. We'll have Art David or the fellows over there at Turner in the creative area will come over to critique classes. We'll get a phone call like, hey, you know, I'm missing students. Can I come over and critique? They'll drop in. They'll do a 24-hour art challenge with us. We do lots of sponsored projects where an industry partner might come in and say, hey, I've got this great big idea. Can we get a whole bunch of students together from different majors and, do a brain trust? I mean, what would these students think about? What would my product look like in 10 years?
or what would my character look like if I was going to rebrand it or redirect this. It's energizing to be with the students and see that much creativity. And it's not so much, it's not really a selfish thing. It's not that they know I'm going to, you know, cherry pick and find the best students. I mean, I'm sure that happens too. But it's great to be in that mix. You can't help but be inspired.
That was the Dean of SCAD School of Digital Media, Tina O'Haley.
Hooray for Hollywood, that screwy ballyhooey Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic with just a good-looking pan. And any barmaid can be a starmaid if she dances with or without a fan. Hooray for Hollywood, where you're terrific if you're even good, where anyone at all from TV's Lassie to Monroe's Chassie is equally understood. Go out and try your luck. You might be Donald Duck. Hooray for Hollywood.
My name's Mark Ashworth. Obviously not an Atlanta native, but been here now since 97. My mum and dad moved our family over to Tennessee in 1992.
Okay.
Moved a lot of us over just to get out of Manchester, I think. Get away from the grey skies. And been here since 97 now. I've been acting probably about the last 6 or 7 years. And just taking strides at the moment, man. You know, it's a lot of steps, a couple of strides. Yeah.
What's it like to be a working actor?
Gosh, it's fantastic. You know, I think that's what every actor wants, is to be working. I mean, I consider myself a working actor because I'm constantly working on something. I may not be on set every day, but I've always got a script that I'm looking into and progressing. But you always want to be doing more. You're always looking to the next job constantly, you know. Auditions have been really good the last year, and I think it may be I booked a role on Lawless, and it may be a combination of that on my resume, and it may be a combination of my beard. I've been having a beard on my headshots the last year. I think some kind of a beard renaissance going on right now,
isn't there?
Yeah,
it's good.
It's all the post-apocalyptic television shows and what have you that are here in town shooting now that I think they're just looking to beards.
But you've been in Atlanta for long enough now to see Hollywood come to Atlanta.
Yes.
And what has that done, you know, for your career?
Oh, man. I wouldn't have even half the amount of work that I've gotten, nor half the amount of auditions that I've gotten. I've noticed since I've started, I've noticed a definite influx of the bigger roles. You know, used to, as an actor in town here, at my level anyway, you would get called in a lot for the one-liners, which you still get and you're grateful for. But it seems like last year I had maybe 2 or 3 auditions for the reoccurring role. Day players a bit bigger, a bit principal, more principal roles they're looking for locally. Recently, I was in a commercial that was in a competition for the Super Bowl, Crash the Super Bowl.
The Doritos.
The
Let's
Doritos
hear about
commercial.
It.
Yeah, it was one of the Crash the Super Bowl entries, and we actually were one of the finalists. We got aired at the Super Bowl. The spot was called Goat for Sale. It's been amazing. We were the only production company on the East Coast here in Atlanta. It was Pogo Pictures over in Decatur. It seems as though definitely everybody here in Georgia got right behind it, and you get that real sense of community.
But this one, though, I mean, the Doritos commercial, I'm sitting there watching the Super Bowl, and not only was it a great commercial, but it became the most popular and favorite commercial of the Super Bowl. How does it feel to have 100 million people see you?
Oh, It's
and your
it's
work,
amazing.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's mind-blowing, really. You know, it is. I wish I could go back and live it all over again because it happened just in the blink of an eye, you know.
Well, tell us what happened. Where were you? Are you eating Doritos, watching a game? What's the deal?
Yeah, in my boxes. Actually, we were at the Marley House. It was gonna be a nice, quiet evening. You know, I wasn't gonna do anything grand. You know, I thought, you know, I'm just gonna enjoy the Super Bowl. I've got my squares picked, and I'm gonna go out and watch the game. We decided to go to a friend's pub over in Decatur, the Marley House. So we're in there, and Ben, who was the director, Ben's girlfriend shows up with all Ben's college friends from Georgia Tech. He's a Georgia Tech grad. And then showed up too with Joe, who was the gentleman in the collar who sold me the goat in the commercial. And also the guy Keith, who does the goat scream, was there. And he was screaming all night. But yeah, it turned into a big party. The place was packed. You could hardly move in there. And when it came on relatively close to the beginning. It was in the first quarter that they aired it. And everybody started cheering. I looked up to the TV, and there I was walking on the street with the Doritos in my hand. And it was fantastic. Everybody started cheering, and everybody was, "Moose, Moose, Moose." Moose was the goat. So everybody was cheering.
Did y'all bring the goat?
No. Steve, who was the executive producer of Pogo, he's the goat's father.
Okay.
And he was at the Super Bowl with Ben watching the game. They were sitting in the Doritos box, unsure. You know, they found out whether or not they had won at the same time we saw it being aired. So they had the five guys, the five finalists.
So did you know
that
it was going to be aired or no?
No.
So you're sitting there in a bar in Decatur with a bunch of friends, and all of a sudden you pop on there. I mean, were you like excited? Were you nervous? What was your...
I was... everybody was screaming, and they all gathered around me. It was like, yay! It was like England scored the winner against Germany, the last kick of the game. That's what it was like.
Now, with the support of friends, with this exposure, do you feel like your career in acting is really like on the right track for you? And are you interested in staying in Atlanta, or are you looking for a Hollywood?
No. This is it, man. I'm in the right place and the right time. There's no reason to go anywhere else. Georgia is it right now. Sure, the competition is a little bit more fierce now, but that's fine, because nobody looks like you. Nobody looks like me. Yeah. Nobody talks like me, nor you. And put all that together, you know, you are you. And so the fish tank is getting bigger. You know, but at the same time, like I say, you're your own fish. You know, that's okay with me.
I'd like to thank my guests today, Chris Escobar, Lee Thomas, Tina O'Haley, and Mark Ashworth. Of course, I'd also like to thank our sponsor, Perkins & Will. I'm your host, Gene Kansas. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next month.